My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Daryl Ryder joins us, brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, where Daryl and Andy Baskin track the season episode by episode in their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. And they have post-game drops after every single game. Friends, subscribe to the podcast now, 92.3thefan.com, on the free Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Tone, you got a question for Daryl.
Is it a must-win on Sunday?
Uh-oh!
I'm going to say no.
Whoa! We can lose! We can lose!
We can lose! We can lose! We can lose! We can lose! Yes! Let's go! Win or lose, we'll have fun! Football!
Guys, I want to see a good game!
Breathing room! Breathing room! Breathing room!
Tell us why, Daryl.
No trophy this year, though. Well, just looking at this schedule, they've got the Giants next week, which is a game that, frankly, they should win. A trip to Vegas, that's another game that I feel like they should win. Washington follows that. That's another game I feel they should win. So that now you're back to 3-2. Then you get into the meat of the schedule, right? Trip to Philadelphia, that'll obviously be difficult. Cincinnati, Baltimore, and then, of course, the Chargers follow that before you go into the bye week. So it would behoove them to win because the odds of making the playoffs at 0-2 obviously decrease significantly. However, just looking at the schedule, there's three very winnable games on tap after that, and they can still get themselves above 500 before they get into the meat of the schedule.
What did you find to be the biggest issue now that you've had a week to digest what happened against the Cowboys?
Well, I think the biggest issue is the offense. It's a combination, the offensive line, pre-snap penalties, protection problems. You can't have Deshaun Watson getting hit 17 times in a game and sacked 6. And then it's Deshaun not making plays when there were plays to be made, taking too long to allow those plays to develop, not exploiting the pressure up front like we've seen him do in years past in his career. I mean, look, he made a living making defenses look silly and putting them on skates when they dial up the pressure, and he would get outside the tackles and either beat them with his feet or beat them with his arm down the field. We saw none of that against Dallas. So it's a combo. Offense, very concerning. A lot of red flags there. No David Njoku this week. We'll see if they can get everything fixed up in a week. But I'm a bit of a realist here. I don't know that all the problems are just magically going to go away when they go to Jacksonville.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers. All right, Daryl, I mean, you're right about that. Getting this offensive line fixed is another comparison here. What do you do with – is Jed Wills going to be able to play on Sunday, or should I just cross him off then?
I don't think so, because both him and Jack Conklin seem to be doing what they did last week. I'm not ruling them out. We'll obviously find out today. But you know, to me, during the portions that were open to us, it looked like both were taking part-time reps. They were taking reps when they were on the field, but part-time reps. Mm. So I'm not convinced enough to sit here and tell fans to expect one or both on the field Sunday.
So, James Hudson there, I would imagine.
Yeah,
the rest of the offensive line. Joel had a sketchy game. You know, DeJuan Jones was really good against Micah Parsons, but everybody else who lined up over him, he seemed to struggle a little bit with him. Yeah, how do you get this offensive line in sync with James Hudson over there as your swing tackle?
Yeah, and Joel, you know, told us yesterday that the elbow got banged up a little bit, so there's a chance he might be wearing a brace on Sunday to help that out. You know, look, DeJuan Jones just has to be in it mentally, right? Because the false starts and the illegal formation penalties, you know, those things can be fixed. That's fixable stuff. So if he can fix that, I think he'll be okay. And it'll certainly help the offense exponentially because you're not doing first and 15 all the time. And the pre-snap penalties certainly did not help them against Dallas because they just it just felt like in that first half they were playing behind the sticks the whole afternoon there. So if they can fix the pre-snap stuff, I think that goes a long way into making life better for Deshaun and the offense.
Well, Daryl, can I also look at this? You know, a lot of people, I know Mina Kimes had specified it, that quarterback play throughout the first week in a game is down, really down. Dak Prescott, I tell you, I know he didn't have to do too much. I thought the Browns did a decent job against Dak Prescott.
They did. I think I said this with you guys on Monday, so I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but if you would have told me going into that Dallas game that Dak Prescott would not throw for 200 yards and he would throw just one touchdown, I would have told you the Browns are going to run the Cowboys out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen, right? Trevor Lawrence last week, he didn't throw, I think it was
160 yards?
Yeah, 160 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
12 of 21 passing. Didn't light it up in week one. Yeah, it kind of feels like because now teams are not resting, but they're protecting their players in the preseason. These guys aren't getting the work that they need, in my view. And I'm not criticizing it because I get why Deshaun didn't play in the preseason. I get why teams don't want to put their starting quarterback on the field in the preseason or do it in a very minimal fashion. But I kind of feel like that September is the just kind of get the engine running month. And then so, when we get into October, that's when you see these quarterbacks start to take off. Except if your name is Patrick Mahomes.
Well, of course. I'm sorry. I kept trying to cut you off there, Daryl. I was just trying to jump right in because I know we don't always have the greatest amount of time in the world. Should I give – I don't want to sit there and make excuses. I'm Mr. No Excuses now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you realize that. I'm Mr.
I did
tough.
Not get that memo.
Oh, no. I'm Tough Talking Ken in 2024, man. No
okay,
excuses.
All right.
None.
I like it.
And I won't use the R word for Deshaun Watson. But should that give me a little bit more? Should I be a little more patient with Deshaun Watson because of the other quarterbacks as well?
Well, I'm actually trying to be more patient with Deshaun. He certainly made that more difficult this week to be patient with him. But I had said all along, I expected this offense to start slow. My thing with Deshaun from a football standpoint right now is I need to start seeing it. I need to start at some point seeing some elite quarterback play. So I'd like to see him play better this week, show that things are coming around. And as we go into subsequent weeks here, it's got to get better and better and better. Now, every once in a while, you're going to have a flat tire. I totally get that. But I need to see this guy show me he's worth the headache that he is and he's worth the contract that he's getting. So, Tough Talking Daryl will be back in a few weeks.
He's not worth the contract that he's getting. I'm trying to just maximize whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, that's not a shot at you. I'm just trying to maximize whatever quarterback is there still. The days of 2020 to me are
gone.
You
have to, Ken. Yeah. This is the window of contention right now. The reason the Browns made that trade, okay, because they had a roster ready to win, and the missing link was the quarterback to get them over the top, right? Baker was good, but not good enough in their eyes. And so they needed a top-tier quarterback to put them in contention to compete for Super Bowls. And this is why, fair or not, I hold him to the standard I do when it comes to football. That they didn't make this trade just so the Browns can make the playoffs. It's, and I've said this too, it's the Donovan Mitchell principle. Mitchell would say, has been saying, you know, during the going leading into the playoffs and then during the playoffs last year, they didn't make that trade just for me to get this team to the playoffs. Okay? Same thing with Deshaun. They didn't make that trade with, okay, just get us to the playoffs a couple times. No, they made that trade because they believed that he is the player that not only can get them to the playoffs, but can position them to do what, frankly, they've never really done, well, at least since the late 80s, and that is compete to get to a Super Bowl and then hopefully get there and win the thing. That's why they made that trade. That's why they gave up the 6 picks. That's why they gave him the big contract. So, that's why I'm, again, giving him a little latitude early to get things going here, but I really need to see some elite quarterback play from him this year, because if we don't see that, Ken, I kind of feel like for them to achieve those goals, they're really climbing up the mountain, regardless of the vast amount of talent they have on this roster.
Daryl, we always wonder when off-the-field stuff happens, if it's a distraction. You got a chance to talk to the players this week. You got a chance to put a microphone in front of some of them. What did you think of their reactions to the Watson questions?
Well, you know, the player, his teammates are concerned about between the white lines. And from the football business aspect of things, Anthony, everybody right now is saying the right things, right? Everyone's saying, including Deshaun himself, that he is focused on football. He is dialed in. He's ready to go Sunday. Teammates are saying the same thing. He's focused on football. They're focused on football. They're not worried about what's going on off the field. But we have to remember, these are human beings too, and things in life affect people, right? I have to feel like that last weekend, Deshaun was affected by the passing of his father on Friday, the passing of his teammate, his college teammate and friend on Saturday. That had to affect him in some ways. These are human beings we're dealing with here. It's easy to say, oh yeah, nothing affects us. We're focused on football. But let's be very realistic about it. I'm sure that behind the scenes, there is an effect somewhere, somehow. Hopefully, it doesn't show on the field Sunday in Jacksonville.
David Bell back on the active roster. Are we headed towards the Pro Bowl again?
Can Carmen win?
Let's go, baby. Let's get a win.
Fire up the Michael Stanley, Ken.
For David Bell, that's how... We're at the bottom of the barrel. You can't say it's not a must win, and then we're playing the Michael Stanley for David Bell coming back. Don't even start with me, Daryl.
Hey, you're the one that brought up David Bell in Pro Bowls.
Real quick, I was writing something down for actually the Sharps and Vermillion. Real quick, because I want to remind myself for later. Did you ask him about Miles and Za'Darius Smith?
No.
All right,
no.
Sorry, Daryl. Miles, Za'Darius Smith. Anything to be concerned about?
Well, until we get a little more clarity today, I'm always going to be concerned anytime guys pop up with a DNP on Thursday due to injury. So I was told about Miles that it's not that big of a deal, but we'll see today.
Don't scare me like that.
I'm not trying to scare you. I'm giving you a real answer. Well, I will get a better view of it today when they give us the game status reports, or actually we go out to practice and we see if either one or both of them are or are not on the practice field today.
Do you have an eye on that Buffalo running game without Ken Dorsey and the lack thereof right now with our Cleveland Browns?
Not really, because this is a passing heavy offense to begin with.
So a problem? Should we be running the ball more to take care of Deshaun Watson more so he sees fewer ghosts during this spooky season?
I just checked the roster, and I don't see Nick Chubb active. So I'm
well. Eventually, we're going to have to run the ball without Nick Chubb.
I hear you.
I'm not ripping you.
I hear you, Ken. I think it's a little too. The circumstances didn't dictate them running the football on Sunday. Again, getting behind the chains, falling behind on the scoreboard. Tough to stick to the run game there. You know, Jerome Ford punched in that late touchdown, but. Yeah, I get the question. I'm not dismissive of it, but style of offense they're running combined with the circumstances in the Cowboys game, I'm not going to get too nervous about the run game right now. It's when I'm going to get nervous about the run game, Ken, is when it's third and two and they run it and they can't get the first down. Then I'm going to get nervous about the run game.
All right, Daryl, thank you very much for the time.
Clearly, I did not make you feel better with that answer.
You never make me feel better about anything.
Well, that's good to know.
No, I'm kidding. You're a good guy, Daryl. I didn't mean it like that. You know what I meant.
I know what you meant.
It's just I always want you to talk me down from a ledge.
You know? I know, and I'm probably the last person to look to talk you down from the ledge.
Well, you're an excitable boy, Daryl. You are. Daryl, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Enjoy the football weekend.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Guys.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us right now to not just talk about Jaguars, but everything else going on, as well as Deshaun Watson. She joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. She's from the Cleveland Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. Okay, we got to start off. We got to start off with this latest lawsuit here. Kevin Stefanski said he wasn't aware. The NFL is looking into it. Lisa Friel, I believe is her name, is looking into it. The last time she looked into it, it led to a 6, then an 11-game suspension when the NFL brought in Sue L. Robinson. Where are we at right now with all this? With Deshaun Watson, this lawsuit, whatever with the NFL and his future with this football team?
Well, the NFL has to determine if this incident or alleged incident is different, substantially different enough to warrant further discipline under the personal conduct policy, because they had an agreement the first time around that anything else that arose from that time period that was similar was going to fall under the 11-game suspension and the $5 million fine. So that's what Lisa Friel has to determine. And what she will attempt to do is interview the plaintiff, and she will interview Deshaun. And this one, I'm sure, can get very tricky because, well, they all were this way, but it is her word against his word. So I think it might end up being difficult to determine exactly what happened on that evening, if anything, whatever. So that's going to be incumbent upon Lisa to do that. And if they do feel that this was different enough, then they could suspend him for another how many ever games, or fine him more, or put him back into therapy or treatment. So I think it's just a wait and see proposition right now. And what can happen on the other end of it is that the two attorneys can get together and come up with a settlement. And if they do that, then I believe that, that the league would probably back off of any further discipline. So I'm not sure exactly what Rusty, Harden, and Tony Busby are talking about at the moment, but a settlement is something that I'm sure they are going to discuss.
Do you think it matters to Friel the way that Watson's behavior had been characterized in the NFL ruling that was eventually handed down by Sue L. Robinson, that she used the term, you know, predatory, and it was such just a, the language was so ugly. Does that factor in? Because right now, it's a he said, she said in what is a civil case, and, you know, what can they really find out beyond that?
Right. Unless there were some video or audio evidence or something like that, it is going to remain a he said, she said situation. But I do think that his previous cases, his previous history will factor into this. That doesn't exist in a vacuum. So they're going to have to take a look at all of that and ask themselves if this is, you know, showing more of the same, or if this was something different that needs to be further penalized. So they have a tough order to try to sort this out.
Mary Kay, what did you think yesterday when Kevin Stefanski said this was kind of news to him? Deshaun Watson and his kind of casual attitude about it during the press conference. What did you make of that reaction?
Well, I don't think that Kevin Stefanski was apprised of every single thing, every single case, every single alleged incident. I don't know that he was privy to all of that information that went on before the Browns traded for Deshaun Watson. So I don't think he could say, oh, yes, I knew that this happened. I mean, I really think that that's exactly what he needed to say in that moment. And I believe that that was accurate. So it doesn't mean that the Browns didn't know. It doesn't mean that the NFL didn't know. It doesn't mean that his contract is going to be null and void just because Kevin sat up there and said, I wasn't aware of the allegations. So I think we have to kind of be a little bit careful of reading too much into that. In terms of Deshaun not knowing, I think basically what Tony Busby is trying to say, oh yes, he knew about the incident at the time that it happened. And also he knew that we have been trying to settle this case for the past 10 months. Well, I don't necessarily know if that part is true, the latter, because I know I did talk to Rusty Harden myself in October of 2022 when the 26th lawsuit was filed. And at that point, he had drawn a line in the sand and they were done. They had already negotiated the 11 games, the $5 million penalty. Deshaun was in the midst of that suspension at the time, and they had decided they were not going to pay out any more money. And so I think part of this situation is an outgrowth of that stance that they took, that hardline stance that we're done doing this. We're not, if we think that the lawsuit doesn't have merit, we're not going to just keep opening a wallet and paying out a bunch of money. So I don't know that he even brought this to Deshaun's attention that, hey, Tony Busby is trying to get $1 million for this person. I don't know if Deshaun necessarily knew that. So, you know, there are a lot of gray areas. I thought Deshaun did a really good job with fielding a bunch of questions that the Browns didn't want him to field and that his attorney didn't want him to field. And I thought he handled it really well. But yeah, well, I mean, we just don't know where this is going to go yet, basically.
If he were suspended, would that open the Browns up to voiding his contract?
Probably. Yeah, I would say that that would open the door for perhaps something like that happening, because it's new sanctions, new penalties against him. And by that point, the league would have decided that this was substantially different enough to warrant further sanctioned. So I would guess that that probably would rise to the level of the Browns at least trying to get out of it at that point.
Now, it's been thrown out there, and yeah, this happened on Monday. This is the first chance we get to talk to you, so you may have given this answer to some other shows, wherever, written about it. I'm sorry, Mary Kay. Is there a possibility that the other owners in some way might block a suspension or whatever because they don't want them to be able to void his contract because of the fully guaranteed money? Like, that was something Mike Florio had pointed out there, and I'm like, well, I don't know if that's always the case.
No, I don't think so. I don't see anything like that happening. I don't think that the other owners are going to get involved in this business between the NFL and the Cleveland Browns. I don't think they would appreciate owners banding together and doing that for one of their own incidents, and you don't want to set that kind of precedent. So I don't see anything like that happening. And I also might add right now that even Deshaun said this yesterday during his press conference, the Browns are standing behind him. He has got the full support of his football team right now, that he 100% has gotten just support and confidence from the Haslams, from Andrew Berry, and they're not looking to get out of his contract right now. What they want is for things to work out, for Deshaun to get back on that field and be the quarterback that they believe that he is. So they're not trying to get out of this. They're not hoping they can get out of this. They're hoping the opposite, that things work out well for everyone involved, or better for everyone involved, and that he can get back to playing football.
Mary Kay with us on the show. Do they believe that he can get back to 2020 form, or do they believe that there's limitations there because of the time, because of the injuries?
I think that they still have full faith that he can be the quarterback that they traded for. I'm looking forward to asking Ken Dorsey some of these questions this morning, too, just about where Deshaun is at. But I don't think that they – I know the national and local narrative right now is that he's completely broken, lost, and hopeless. And I just don't – I don't really believe that that's true. I don't believe that that's true. I actually – when I rewatched the game – I thought I saw more things in that game that led me to believe that this was just a collective offensive meltdown and a recipe for disaster against a really, really good defense and a really, arguably, one of the two best pass rushers in the NFL in Micah Parsons, along with Myles Garrett. And he wrecked that game. I thought Mike Zimmer came in with an amazing game plan. I thought the fact that Deshaun was always in second and long, third and long, every time you turned around, there was a penalty or another penalty or a drop. So a lot of it was on him. Yes, a lot of it was on him. But it was an absolute collective meltdown on the part of the offense. And they've got to look in the mirror this week and figure out where it all went wrong and how they can get it fixed very quickly.
Mary Kay, a week ago at this time, we were hearing from Ken Dorsey about how they basically had a unicorn in a quarterback that could make throws no one else could make. We heard from Kevin Stefanski about how confident they were. We heard from Quincy Avery, who said this might be the best Deshaun Watson's ever thrown the ball, maybe the best velocity. We had heard from Deshaun Watson, who said that he thought he was an elite quarterback and had no doubts about that. Was that just lip service? Was that everybody just trying to get their confidence up, or do they truly believe that?
No, they truly believe that, and I think it was probably last week when you guys asked me if he didn't play well, what did that mean? And I said, it means it's the first week in a brand new offense with a quarterback coming off of a shoulder surgery that no other NFL quarterback has ever had before.
Why didn't they say that, Mary Kay? Because that would have been understandable. That would have people feeling maybe not as bad today as they did. Instead, it feels like they've been lied to.
Well, you don't go into a game saying, hey, geez, we're just not really sure about this. I mean, like, who would do that? The Cowboys are coming to town, national television, and they didn't even believe that. I'm just saying that I believe that. I don't think that they believed that. I think they believed that they had a good scheme, a good game plan, a good quarterback, and a good supporting cast, and that it was going to go a whole lot better than it did. But from the first drive on, there were penalties, there were drops, there were slips. It was just basically kind of a disaster, and they could never pull out of it. By the time you get down 20-3, your running game is hardly viable anymore. and then you give up a 60-yard punt return, and what do you think is going to happen when you're down 27-3? They're going to tee off, and that is exactly what they did. And sometimes a game gets away from you. It doesn't necessarily mean that your quarterback is hopeless, lost, broken, finished. It doesn't mean that. Now, maybe he is. Maybe he is, and maybe what everyone saw on Sunday is what he's going to be. But I don't know. I don't believe that right now. I think it's too soon to completely write the whole thing off.
I would agree with you, Mary Kay, about all of that. I sincerely believe you and agree with you, because that's what I said on Monday, that I don't think this is the end of the world. I don't think it proves that Deshaun is gone. I just think from the fan perspective, they seem like they were building this up as if, wait till you guys see what we do in the opener. When how could they possibly believe that? We all know how little they did, how the fact that Deshaun didn't get any live reps, that he hadn't been hit, that he had surgery. Football's hard. They're a really good defensive line going up against an O-line that hadn't really had any continuity because of the injuries. I guess I get being confident because you're an athlete and that's the safe way to play, but I also almost seemed to me like they were saying things that even they couldn't believe.
Well, do you think the Cowboys should have come in here and said, oh, geez, you know what? Dak's mind's not right. We haven't signed him to his new contract yet. We don't know where his mindset is going to be when he's in here. And, geez, CD, we signed him so late in the program. He never had any reps with Dak. And, you know, we just don't know what those two are going to look like together. And for the first time in the history of the Cowboys, we are starting two rookies on the offensive line, and one of them is going to have to go up against Myles Garrett. And my goodness, we might as well just not even go to Cleveland right now, because this is going to be an absolute disaster. I mean, that's not how you approach a football game. No matter what's going on, you go in there, you go in confident, you go in with your game plan, and you hope that it's going to work out the way that you want it to. And in this case with the Browns, it absolutely didn't. But you don't go in saying, geez, we don't really know if this is going to work out.
Final one here. We're going to do rock, paper, scissors to decide who asked you.
Yes.
You ready? We're going to do rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yes.
You ready?
Yep.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Go. Have at it, Kenny.
Have you looked into the matter of Leroy Bickerstaff?
No, I haven't. I haven't, but I will say this. First of all, Deshaun does not strike me as the kind of person that would do his own burner account. I'm not saying that people's surrounding camp would never do something like that, and I'm not saying that they would, but I just don't see him as a person that would run his own burner account.
I don't think so either. I think it's, personally, we talked about it yesterday. I said I think a fan is having some fun with other fans on social media right now.
Yeah,
thought.
I don't see it. Again, you know, sometimes people around a player will do some things. I doubt that happened either, but you're right. I think it's probably a fan.
Feels like the type of work that a slippery wizard might do, but that's for another day. Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media.
Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure. Thank you.
He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. That's where you are. And we'd love to hear from you throughout the show, especially with so many great things coming up. I know I want to keep saying, let's move forward to the Jacksonville game that's coming up on Sunday at 1 o'clock that you can listen to right here on the Browns Radio Network. But James Palmer said something yesterday from Bleacher Report on the way the offense is put together. How's that say? You're talking about the ingredients in the offense and how to get this thing put together, especially with new faces like Ken Dorsey as the offensive coordinator. I'm very interested to hear, Jeff, your reaction to this. All right, so let's talk about what he's saying and then try to just put yourself into the mind of the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns right now. Let's just focus on it from that aspect. So you've got, you know, old offense, new offense, offensive line that's reeling from injury. You've got off-the-field events that are going on. You go into last week against also knowing, you know, losing your father and, you know, whatever the relationship might be you're thinking about in your head about a loved one that you've lost. And then you lost a friend last week that you played college football with that was shot and killed on Saturday night. So now there's like six or seven different elements. Oh, and by the way, you're up against Dallas's defense. And this is not an excuse segment, okay? I'm not trying to make it that way. But when you listen to what James Palmer's saying, like on top of, I mean, there's like a million things going on that could be rolling through Deshaun's ears at any given moment, and to try to find the clarity to just even play quarterback. Oh, and by the way, your shoulder was reconstructed like no other quarterback has ever had to have it reconstructed before. I don't know. These are all things that make you wonder how is this going to work? How does he turn the page, and I'll literally say that now, to this week knowing that, you know, he also had to spend, 15, 20 minutes answering questions about another civil suit. I mean, this is a lot of stuff going on right now.
Welcome to life in the NFL as a star quarterback.
Fair.
Big controversy about Joe Burrow's wrist. Doesn't begin to compare to what Deshaun has going on, but, you know, this is what he signed up for, Andy. Correct?
Correct, no. And this this is what the Browns signed up for.
Browns signed up for the guy they saw in Houston. We haven't seen that guy except in very small glimpses here. So, I mean, Andy, he's clearly has something to live up to. Maybe not in his mind, but in everybody else's. I mean, a week or so ago, he said he's still an elite quarterback. Well, let's see it. Great. I love the confidence. Let's see it. And there's more to it than just that. His offensive line needs to do a good job. Coaches need to do a good job, put him in a good situation. But, you know, let's see it.
I mean, he can say he's an elite quarterback. He is not. He's not.
Hasn't
elite
played like it.
No. In fact, I hesitated on all these places that were saying 8.5 wins this season. 8.5. I'm like, how can that be? If Deshaun Watson's at 80%, they're still better than an 8-win team. They're still better than knowing what the defense looks like, because the defense is going to win. Like, this could be a game where the defense wins the game for you. This week could be one of those games. But, you know, even just looking at it, to say elite quarterback is tough. I mean, I'm looking at CBS Sports, and they did their power rankings for quarterbacks, whatever that's worth, okay? I mean, all it is another it reminds me of the AP college football poll, and I'll never forget something that was said to us in college. They were like, why does the AP poll, it used to come out on Tuesdays, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Why does the AP poll come out on Tuesdays? Why? Because there's nothing else to write about with college football on Tuesdays, so they made up their own story, and then that became a thing. Well, I think it's also the same for folks that are doing quarterback ratings or ranking teams in power rankings. I think the same thing about that. It's like, okay, well, I needed something to write about midweek in between the Monday night game and the Thursday night game, and trying to get people still excited, because we know the product out there for football, there just isn't enough information to go around right now. So why not come up with power rankings for teams, power rankings for quarterbacks, power rankings for everything, and it kind of fills your week as you get set. Deshaun Watson is ranked 28th by CBS right now. Only Bo Nix, Daniel Jones, Bryce Young, Malik Willis are behind him.
Wow.
So that's not an elite quarterback.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
Who's slightly ahead of him?
Will Levis is a 27. Jacoby Brissett, who filled in for him, was 26. Gardner Minshew was sitting at 25. Caleb Williams, rookie, 24. Justin Fields in Pittsburgh, 23. Sam Darnold, 22. Kirk Cousins, 21. And you know where I'm going to on this, right, where I'll stop. Anthony Richardson is 20 on Indy.
And Baker is where?
You know I was going to stop there. I'm going to keep going. Derek Carr is 19. Where is Baker? Jaden Daniels, 18. Geno Smith, 17. Nope. Baker Mayfield, 16.
It's about right. Boy, he's got some great receivers.
I can't tell you how many people have said to me,
great receivers.
You know, I looked at the trade again. Wow. Did not look good.
Well,
that trade does not look good.
It looks terrible.
No, it looks horrific right now.
Andy, that's why I've been saying for months, if it's not good by the end of this year, I think they're moving on. You can't hold your franchise in quarterback limbo.
Jeff, what if he doesn't look good again this week?
He's the starting quarterback this year, Andy. I don't see that changing.
To what extent? At one point, if you think you change the quarterback, you can change the outcome of the season. What if he doesn't look good again this week? And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just throwing that out there.
I personally think he's going to start. I think he's the starting quarterback this year. At some point, I think he's going to look good enough where it eases the thought that you're going to have to make a move. If he doesn't after four games, that's a different story. Maybe.
You can't start the season 0-4. We all know the numbers on 0-4 teams.
Exactly, except you can.
Well, if you do, you're starting to talk about draft picks.
Changing the quarterback doesn't necessarily change your – if your team's not doing very well, you're 0-2, 0-3, changing from Deshaun to Jameis – might not be the only thing you need.
I hate to say it. I'm going to say it anyway.
Go ahead.
What did we learn about having Joe Flacco as the quarterback last year? What did we learn?
Oh, my God.
What did we learn? You guys can
We learned yawn. That the defense can win some games for you, and if you cut her loose, you might be able to put some points up.
Oh, no, it's the Deacon annoyed groan for me.
Let's not talk about Flacco. Joe did a fine job.
Okay,
here,
rip the name
despite the interceptions.
Yeah, despite the intercept, rip the name off the back of the jersey. What did we learn about bringing in a quarterback off the streets that was able to do with this offense? I mean, it's not that much different. If Jed's healthy and Jack's out, although they didn't have Jack last year either. So, what did we learn?
Look, I don't want to make excuses. As you said, I don't want this to be an excuse segment.
Right.
You could make the argument that Deshaun was getting his act together last year when he got hurt. You could make that argument.
Okay. I thought he was too. I'm not, I don't disagree with that. I felt like we were finally going in the right direction.
Perhaps the Browns would have been as successful with him at quarterback as they were with Joe.
There are two things here, though. One, what James Palmer said about the possibility of there being just too many cooks in the kitchen on offense. And there might be just too much going on there. Two, and no one wants to admit this, that the surgery that he had was unique, right? We don't know of any other quarterbacks that have had this kind of multiple surgeries. I heard Barry Kay talk about that.
I've not heard that, but okay.
I mean, there is a possibility that, you know, surgery didn't fix all those ails of becoming the quarterback that he once was. And at some point, you might have to admit that. And not today. I don't want to admit that today. I don't want to think that today. But we've only seen Deshaun Watson once this year. And that was week one. And it was not good. But, I mean, how much of it was on him? How much of it was the fact that he was looking at the stars all day after getting sacked six times? I mean, there are a lot of little just things out there about Deshaun that make you want to say, oh, okay, am I still – like I still feel like there was – huge optimism for him to be able to return to the form that he once was. And I think, Jeff, based on what we that small sample size towards the end of last season when he was still playing, that we did see some hope out of our starting quarterback, that you saw some of those things. But there might be a point.
He's not had a 300-yard passing game as a Brown. Has he needed it? You know, I look back at, remember the Tennessee game? He was really good, 289 yards,
yeah.
27 to 33. And then that second half of the Baltimore game, he was really good. They beat up Arizona. He was solid in that game. You know, you truly could make the argument that he was starting to get it together. Throw out that Colts game because he only played five snaps. But, you know, his last three full games were better than tolerable.
Hmm. I don't know. Are there too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to...
Meaning what? Mouths to feed?
Well, your head coach, who you've been playing, now you've got a different offensive coordinator, and you're trying to implement new things. Are there too many cooks in the kitchen? 216-474-0092. Does it just need to be simpler? Just make life easy. Try to figure out how to get Deshaun Watson back on track after week one. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Resume that I normally like to do. He is Chris Rose, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Christopher. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
How are you?
We are good. I must say that I thought of you earlier in our show when Jeff Phelps dropped a Animal House reference on me, and then I was reminded during the Browns Radio Network interview that we were doing a few weeks ago that you absolutely chastised me for doing a joke that was completely aged. And Jeff did that to me. So, Chris, could you give Jeff just a little bit of that?
You were
same
saying
kind of Chris somebody love. I can only speak to what I hear and see. I'm sorry. As far as I know, it didn't even happen.
Oh.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much, Chris.
I would never take some veiled shot at my buddy Jeff Phelps.
Thank
now,
you,
on the other hand, for bringing it up. That is as low as it gets in this business, Baskin. Begging for somebody... No, I'm not.
I'm begging for you to be on Team Basket is what I'm saying. I just
somebody to do his dirty work for him.
All I know is I drop a reference in the middle of the pregame show about the angel and the devil over the shoulders and from the movie Animal House, and Chris just like he's like nice modern day reference, and so I just walked into the corner with my dunce cap on and said, "Chris was right. I made an old joke."
By the way, can we believe that was like 40 years ago?
I do it too all the time. Remember, I work for a streaming company where literally the people that consume our content are probably younger than my youngest son. So, yeah, I've been guilty of that too. Don't worry.
All right. I can sleep easier now.
Okay. Let's talk football here.
Yeah.
Was it the Dallas Cowboys being really pretty good, or was it the Browns just not being good and ready to go, or both?
Yeah, I also think that the Browns have a lot of questions they need answered. Deshaun Watson got hit more than any quarterback by a very, very large number. Got sacked a half dozen times. There was no rhythm to their offense whatsoever. With all that being said, the game one is really weird. It just is. I mean, I watched every game. A couple of them I watched extreme. Like, I watched the entire Patriots-Bengals game over. My question heading into last week was, isn't this the biggest no-brainer of the week? Like, right, in terms of who's winning and who's not and how close it's going to be. And the Patriots totally owned the Bengals all day.
Sure
and
did.
I think the Bengals are a pretty good team.
Yep.
So week one is weird stuff. It doesn't mean you can dismiss everything that happens, but it's just there's no other game throughout the year where your opponent has 4 months to prepare for it. Just from here on in, we just go, go, go. So how do the Browns get better this week against the Jacksonville team, which feels like they probably could have walked out of Miami with a win? They were up double digits on the road and did a really good job against the number one offense from a season ago. It starts with Deshaun. He's got to play significantly better. I am not a quarterback. I don't pretend to be one. But the number of times where there have been guys open or that, you know, how many times do we have him throwing with anticipation at this point? Not very high. And that's what you'll see every Sunday. The best quarterbacks in the league are throwing with anticipation. Go look at the pass that Trevor Lawrence threw last week to their rookie, Brian Thomas, for a touchdown. Go see where he let go of the ball and where Thomas was when that happened on the touchdown. We didn't have one of those throws. I mean, we got to get some.
Do you have confidence in the fact that they can, like, the one thing that I kind of looked at last week were the ridiculous penalties that they had, that, you know, not lining up right, offside, putting Deshaun and the entire offense in a bad situation where they're in third and long or second and long way too often. And to be able to correct those mistakes, I think, you know, is something that should happen this week. And does that change the narrative on the team and to find out? Because I just think those are correctable mistakes, and those are the kind of things you can say, okay, we can go back to work. That can be fixed, correct?
Not only can it be, it has to be. Our offense right now is not good enough to work behind the sticks on a consistent basis. And I told you this by the probably 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was on, is that the defense is going to have to win us some games early on. It just is. Yeah. And this is probably one of those times. I thought our defense actually played pretty well in the second half. It's too bad Juan Thornhill's probably coming off of his best game as a Brown, and now he's gone for the next month. So that's a tough one. Our pass rush has got to be more formidable this week against a pretty veteran offensive line in Jacksonville. And, you know, we're going to have to win some games 21-17, you know, stuff like that. And, I mean, it's going to be tough sledding. It is right now. And it stinks. It makes you feel terribly. But it's one game at this point.
I thought the defense did a pretty solid job, too, all the way around, Chris. I agree with you completely on that. I'm perplexed on the offensive line because I don't think that they played poorly, but it sure looks like they played poorly, if that makes any sense. I know you didn't have Jed, and I know you didn't have Jack Conklin, but you really had only one guy who wasn't a starter for most of last year, and that was James Hudson. Is there a big issue there, or do you think it's just a little issue and maybe it was Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, listen, once again, I see the same numbers that everybody else does and floating around social media, so you don't know exactly what to believe, right? Somebody put out that all six sacks, none of them were on the offensive line. Well, I don't know if that's accurate or not. Once again, I'm not watching film with Kevin Stefanski and Ken Dorsey and Andy Dickerson. Like, I don't know. And none of us, if we're going to take the social media world as being gospel, I think we're all going to be in trouble. Whether you can use that in your critique of the Browns or just in life in general. But I guess the point is that, yeah, they need to be better. Like, we pay a ton of money from guard, center, guard. A ton. Probably the most in the league out of those three spots. Maybe Kansas City has usurped us in that area, but I don't think so because I think Trey Smith is still on his rookie deal. But you know, we've got to be better, man. It's going to be a long season. If your offensive line stinks and you don't have the offensive line guru that we've had here the last few years, your season could go to you know what quickly. So yeah, they got to be better.
The impact of losing David Njoku, my friend.
That's a bummer. Sucks. It sucks. I mean, we had two tight ends, which I understand, I get, but that is a major issue going forward. Major. And so what it means is that, you know, Amari Cooper's a very good receiver. Jerry Jeudy, I think, can do some good things. I have no idea what has happened to Elijah Moore's career. I'm befuddled by that one. I really liked him coming out of Ole Miss, and now he's been with two different teams, and neither can figure out exactly how to get him the ball in space. I feel a little bit like, for our older generation, I feel like I'm a little bit like the Eric Metcalf thing all over. Like, he was always a good player, but I felt like on offense, we never could get him the ball on the run. You know, there were a handful of plays, but it never felt like it. You guys remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You thought you had this weapon that could dominate the league, and it never did.
Yeah, and I'm kind of having a little Metcalf PTSD with Elijah Moore because I feel like his skill set is really, really good. But can you remember one time where we've gotten him in space?
I've not seen one play from Elijah that makes me think, yep, that's the guy the Jets thought they had his rookie year.
Right, and it just, so that's weird, but This is what needs to happen now. So it's a challenge. All I can say is go defense.
Chris,
here we go.
Yeah, I know we're not supposed to get excited about players on the practice squad, but I don't know that I want to be excited about this. I'm just a Kadarius Toney picking him up and putting him on the practice squad. I think is interesting. I don't know that I'm in love with it. I don't hate it. I think it's an interesting pickup.
Next question.
Wow, you're not answering practice squad questions?
No, it's just that, like, I mean, good for. I hope he ends up participating and helping us out somewhere. But once again, there's not one thing. You know what I remember? I remember a ball bouncing off his hands and ending up in a Lion's lap last year. Like, that's so hopefully he changes. And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with putting him on the practice squad. Zero. But if that's where we are heading into week two, we got real issues. Like, breaking down what Kadarius Toney could mean to us.
I don't know. For some reason, I wanted to have a Guardians feel where we're going to have this resurrection project.
And here comes Matthew Cobb. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Listen, it could. Like I said, it could work out, and it's. I totally get it from the Browns' perspective. I'm just not. I don't know. That's not the first thing I woke up thinking about today. It was Kadarius Toney.
Well, good. Now you can go to sleep thinking about it.
I will, though, and I'll think of you.
No, thank you. I don't want to be there. Like, there's a whole Larry David bit here that I won't do with you. I don't want to be in that world. Thank you. I'll pass.
You started it.
It's really
true. You started when the words. Let me ask you this: when the words Kadarius Toney came out of your mouth, were you like, "Oh God, I can't believe I did that"?
I'm just looking for something optimistic, Chris. Because I got to tell you, I was so bummed out on Sunday about the entire package, the offense, the defense, the special teams, and the coaching. That I need week two to make me think, "Oh my God, Dallas is the greatest team that's ever hit the field." That's what I want. And week five, I want to look back and go, man, that was really a tough game, and Dallas is really, really good.
Yeah, so this is what I'm – I am as passionate a Browns fan as you will find. You know that. I love the team. I love our city. I love what we're about. I love it when we're going well. Hell, this morning – I could not sleep last night, and I put on the Browns-Patriots playoff game from 1995. Like, I was – like, that's where I was in my head. And then I put on like the Dallas Browns game where we stopped Jay Novacek at the 1 yard line to win. Like, I love this stuff. I want to feel like that. There is a possibility that we could be staring at 0-2. Jacksonville is a talented team. I don't know what's happened to them over the end of last year and the beginning of this one. They got some things to figure out. But there's a possibility we could lose and be 0-2. It does not mean the season is over. I know. Do you know the last time the Browns made the playoffs when they started 0-2?
Please don't do this to me.
Go ahead. How about
1980.
All right, I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's right. Not bad.
Okay.
So, I thought we were going Otto Graham. Okay, phew.
No. We're not.
No, they never started 0-2 back then.
That's true, they did.
But I guess my point is this, is that even if things don't go great this weekend, and I hope I'm wrong, I hope we're not even discussing this at this time next week, your next three are against the Giants, Washington, and Vegas is squeezed in between those two teams. We will be challenged, and we'll see what the franchise is made of. But I know they're focused on winning, but as a, you know, like, I guess just like every other Cleveland fan, sometimes we think of the worst. And I'm not going to say it hasn't crept into my brain.
All right, Chris, back to your regular scheduled life. Thank you. We do appreciate you.
Did I put everybody in a bummer mood or no?
No, we're good.
We were already there.
You sound like we do. You sound like a Cleveland sports fan that wants the Browns to be better than they were.
Right. I mean, you have to deal with what is, not like what you think the made-up world is. Like, I am very much a Parcells guy when it comes to that. You are what your record says you are. And you can't be, well, what if? We weren't winning that game last Sunday. The Dallas Cowboys played great. They played great. Mike Zimmer ran some serious stuff on defense, so they were impressive. But let's pick it up, and hopefully when I'm talking to you next week, we're 1-1.
That's okay? Right. Turn the page Thursday. That's what I say. Thank you, Chris.
I'm going to go. Guys, I got to go buy my Kadarius Toney jersey.
Okay, cool. I can't wait to see you wearing that. I want to see it on
Instagram.
Number
87.
I hope he has like a 3-touchdown game here, and you have to put one of those jerseys on. Goodbye, Chris.
I hope I do too, Andy. Come on. I want that.
I know. We all do. Bye, bud. All right, he was Chris Rose. You know him. We love him. He's a super friend of the show. Let's talk about what he had to say. Also, college football could be changing again. What? Huh? Baskin and Phelps.
You know, we were going to talk about the Jacksonville game right off the rip here, and then came the latest bit of news on the Deshaun Watson, the latest lawsuit, which is that Tony Busby says that they're scheduled to meet within the NFL within the next 2 weeks. And there's also claims out there, and again, he said all this to Pro Football Talk, that the victim has video and witnesses. So if you thought that the next, this actually plays into the theory that the problem is not just the another round of lawsuit and allegations, mm-hmm. these even more heinous, it's also that you just never know when the next shoe is going to drop.
That's right.
Or when the next piece of information is going to come out. And today, it once again hijacked any conversation about Deshaun.
It just feels like to me, as this week has gone on, Nick, and as more information has been revealed, it just feels like to me, as somebody in the media and somebody who is also a Browns fan, that we're just never going to be done with the Deshaun Watson nonsense.
Yeah.
We're never going to be done with him having to answer questions about this. We're never going to be done with the allegations. And it's entirely his fault for putting himself in this situation. But it's just, it's exhausting. And I can only imagine how his teammates feel. I can only imagine how Kevin Stefanski feels. At some point, I just want Kevin Stefanski to be able to show how great of a coach he is and not deal with all the nonsense that he's had to deal with since becoming head coach of the Browns and Deshaun Watson coming aboard.
I think if you heard Kevin yesterday, you did hear, he was not exasperated, but he was definitely to a point where you could tell he's like, it's a Wednesday before a game.
Right.
And now I have to talk about this.
Right. We're coming off a bad loss against Dallas. We're playing against a pretty good team. It's going to be their home opener. We're going on the road, and now I got to deal with this.
Well, and, you know, listen, talent deficiencies cost you some wins in 2022.
Mm.
There's no way that you can convince me otherwise that the circus of moving on from Baker, trading for Deshaun, the summer of Sue Robinson into the preseason, into the regular season, being asked about Deshaun constantly. There's no way you can convince me that that didn't cost you a few games. And so in a way, that was a organizational test of leadership in that locker room too, not just organizationally. Mm-hmm. And you can make a case that they failed because the noise was too much to ignore.
Yeah.
That is a real concern now. And something that, like, if we're going to go two updates a week about the latest lawsuit on Deshaun, you can't tell me that this isn't going to maybe cost you games or cost you focus.
Sure.
Because it is inescapable.
Right.
It really is. Like, and I'm not just saying from the fan side of things. The conversation will be inescapable for Cleveland Browns players. And that, if they end up winning 12 games in spite of that, that's almost what it feels like. They're going to have to win in spite of all the latest circus here.
Right. And that's the thing, Nick. It's not manufactured drama, right? It's not media creating this sort of thing. It's something real that this organization has to constantly navigate.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be problematic. And it has been problematic. And it has been a distraction. I know people say, oh, how could you really be distracted by something like this? Just a few questions coming your way. It's just, where does your mental bandwidth go? You know what I mean? And there's only so much room for so many things. And when this occupies some portion of that, it is detrimental to the health of the team, to the health of the organization, and to their ability to focus on the main thing. Because like we've talked about in the past, everybody's human. Everybody has their own emotions. Everybody handles things a certain kind of way. but this is a real thing that this organization and no other organization in the NFL has to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing about that is, you know, they're football players. Yeah, that's not a real response right. to, you know, because they're also humans. They're so human. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan who every time the latest with Deshaun comes up, if you feel conflicted or turned off or I don't, you know, like how can I be a Browns fan in spite of Deshaun Watson? If you've juggled that for 2+ years, especially now that it's reconfigured and it's out here again, and now, I mean, if you've read, and I guarantee you dudes in that locker room have also read the transcript of what the allegations are.
Right.
You can't tell me that these human beings aren't going to be having conversations about it, aren't going to be, you know, and I know they have their own relationship. They have the benefit that we don't,
yes,
which is they have their own relationship with Deshaun to help them make their decision. But, you know, I think sometimes we slough off the idea of distractions and whether or not they impact teams' ability to win.
Of course they
and
do.
It's because it can't be tabulated in a box score.
Right.
Right? But like,
and how do you quantify?
Yeah, and it's different for every organization because right. every organization handles it. But I think the one thing, and I've said this a couple times this week, the one real concern I have with Kevin is because he isn't a rah-rah guy, which is totally fine. Not everybody has to be like Vrabel as much as blue collar folks like it. You don't have to be.
Right.
But that is the kind of guy who helps you most in these kind of situations. So you were hoping to outlast the PR roar of the Deshaun situation, and now two of the last three seasons have been impacted by this for a guy who that, yes, I'm not saying he's a bad leader. I'm saying different types of leadership allow you different types of success in different types of situation. So that is another concern I have without trying to make this like, oh, Kevin Stefanski or anything like that.
And now, Nick, you have to start wondering about, is a suspension coming? When is a suspension coming?
Yep.
Because when this first broke, one of the things that I was wondering was, okay, the accuser of this, are they going to cooperate with the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be a part of this investigation? And what else is there to this particular story? And when you talk about having pertinent video, that could be damning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about an accuser willing to meet with the NFL because they have such, they believe they have such a strong case and they believe that's the right thing to do, that starts to make me think, okay, a suspension is a real possibility out of this.
Well, and the allegations that you have witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because by the way, this is now a civil lawsuit.
Right.
But there's a lot that can come out of here if there's an overwhelming preponderance of evidence, which we haven't said in about 2 years. So I think, you know, at no point do you feel better about this. And I think it's been hinted that and maybe said on our airwaves by guests. And I'm gonna you know bleep out the name here because I can't remember this exactly what they said. But if Deshaun does settle it before the NFL investigates and interviews Tony Busby and Jane Doe, that actually might make this go away. And so that makes it, like, it, again, there just seems to be, like, a moral quagmire after moral quagmire after moral quagmire. And it's going to be a very tense few weeks here. And you pointed to the idea of a suspension. And we're going to throw this out, 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Chris Fedor, social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, which is, if Deshaun is suspended again, is that it? Because I think I know what most Browns fans are going to say, but I think it's not as easy as a yes or no question. We'll get into that, guys. As you mentioned, we got Tony Boselli, Pro Football Hall of Fame offensive tackle, Jags radio analyst. We will actually talk about this Jacksonville game and the stakes for the Cleveland Browns. Yesterday I said it's tough to call it a must-win because it's week two, but I don't know there's a team in the NFL that could use the positive momentum of a win more than the Cleveland Browns. The Pulse with Chris at 3:40, Pete Futek, of college football news coming up at 4 o'clock, the 5 at 5, predictably at 5, and Albert Breer of the MMQB coming up at 5:20. All of a sudden, Thursday Night Football, 2 weeks in, doesn't seem to be as booty as it has been for the first decade of it. But to talk about Thursday Night Football, to talk the latest on the Browns, and yes, the Deshaun situation. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome on our usual Thursday at 5:20 guest. The great Albert Breer joins us as always. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
So it's 2 weeks. We're 2 for 2 with great matchups on Thursday Night Football. Is it just 2 weeks, or is this a sign that maybe Thursday Night Football might be open to good football from now on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of, like, the evolution of the broadcast contracts, honestly. Like, and it's just everybody's got to get a bite of the apple. I think the Monday night schedule is better, you know, and because the deals are more even in price. And if you look at how much the different networks paid for them, it's just sort of set up a different situation where they've got – there's less of a caste system, I'd say, when it comes to, like, how the games are portioned out. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how all of it plays out, but this is an awfully big one tonight for sure.
Albert, what stands out to you the most about week one, and how much stock do you put into what you see in the NFL in week one?
Not a ton. I mean, I just think it's like there's so many unscouted looks and so many teams that have new coordinators and so many new people in new places, and you don't know how that's going to affect anything. I mean, you know, like there are some teams, like I would take like New England, for example, and like the Bengals are coming in and they've been dealing with injuries and holdouts during training camp. And, you know, they're a team that can look at it and say, well, we can use the first month to find our stride. And, you know, you got a Patriots team in week one that's expected to be at the bottom of the league. And they come in with the approach that, like, we need to prove ourselves and we need to sort of put a stamp on Gerard Mayo's program here, you know? So those are different approaches. Like San Francisco, how they handled Christian McCaffrey. Like, I think if that had been the NFC Championship game on Monday night, Christian McCaffrey's playing, he doesn't wind up playing. Then there's the dynamic of them going up against Robert Saleh and, you know, a coaching staff that they're really familiar with. So they're still able to run the ball, even without McCaffrey. And there's all of these different dynamics that I think are unique to week one. And, you know, I think after like 3 or 4 weeks, that starts to settle and we start to have, I'd say like around October, a better idea of who's who.
Albert, how much should week one inform our thoughts, given how disastrous it was for the Browns over the next little bit and maybe for this season?
Yeah, it's just hard because you don't have your tackles, right? You don't have Nick Chubb. I mean, you have Deshaun in a new offense. You got a new coordinator. Would you have wanted the defense to play better? Sure. But they played pretty good in the second half, right? Like, and I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's a winning effort by the defense. But, you know, I think you saw signs of them being the defense they were a year ago. So you can look at it a couple ways. You know, you can look at it and say, like, yeah, there are warning signs here. Deshaun didn't play well. You know, they didn't run the ball as well as they did when Bill Callahan was around. The defense didn't put together quite as complete an effort, but the flip side of it is there's like a decent reason for every one of those things, you know? So I think that's what's, again, complicated about week one. And, you know, the Cowboys obviously came out like a house of fire and, you know, having to go against a first-year defensive coordinator with the experience of Mike Zimmer, you know, is a challenge for them on offense, and not knowing exactly what they're going to do with Micah Parsons, that's a challenge for them on offense. And, you know, I just think, again, like there's so many moving parts. I'm always hesitant to draw sweeping conclusions over what happens in week one. Although I will say this, one thing that was interesting that I wound up looking up, I think this is right. I think the record of the playoff teams last year in week one was 10-4, and the 4 losses all came to other playoff teams. So that was sort of an interesting one.
Albert, more trouble for Deshaun Watson off the field. Tony Busby, who is representing the latest accuser, said today that the accuser will meet with the NFL in a couple of weeks and has pertinent video evidence to back up these allegations. Is it too soon to kind of gauge whether a suspension could come for Deshaun? What's your view of this whole situation?
I think a lot of it like boils down to disclosure. You know, what did the team know? What did the league know?
And is this an old story or a new story for them? And then, you know, I think beyond that, like, okay, like, so this is a civil case. Does it become a criminal case? The one thing we've learned is the league doesn't like to jump in front of the legal process, right? So are we waiting for the legal process to play out, or because he's a repeat offender, would the commissioner's exempt list be in play? You know, there are a ton of questions, and we really don't, I mean, you know, honestly, we don't know like the credibility of this yet. Like, so it could be nothing. It could be huge, you know? So, it's just hard to speak with, you know, in absolutes when it comes to this one because of the nature of it, because we don't know enough, you know, about what the Browns knew. We don't know enough about what the league knew. And, until we do, I don't know that we're going to have like a great picture of the way this will look, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks down the line.
If it got to a point, Albert, where the Browns wanted out of the whole Deshaun Watson situation, how difficult would that be for them? And what do you think the most logical exit strategy would be?
It'd be really difficult. I think the way out would be if this was something he didn't disclose, right? And it would have to be something they had no knowledge of and that he hid from them. And even then it's hard, you know? You know, I don't know. I know I've heard all the conspiracy theories and everything else about the Browns, you know, all that stuff that you see on Twitter that's dumb. I would say, like, you know, if I was a Browns fan, I wouldn't count on them getting out of the contract on this one, you know? Now, like, would they be thinking about this sort of thing hard if he has another bad year, if the contract was a conventional contract and he was out of his guaranteed money? Sure. The uniqueness of this contract, I mean, it's, and what's so unique about the contract versus other ones is how deep into the deal it's guaranteed. And this is actually, you know, we're getting closer to the part of the contract where you, if he doesn't play well, pay the price for that.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So I know you've kind of hinted around this twice, but I just wanted to ask a question directly. If yep. Deshaun is suspended again, would this be it for him?
I mean, it'd be hard. I mean, it'd be hard, like, to for the league to have him back based on everything. Because again, I think it would have to be something he didn't disclose. And if it's something he didn't disclose, and at least the criminal charges, I just, you know, I don't know where you go from there. You know, we've seen guys get checked second chances, but the second chances are a lot of times given to guys who are like the very best in the league, you know, like that are at the very top of their game. And, you know, I think like you guys know this, like a pro athlete's second chances, you know, they're a function of his ability. And if he doesn't have great ability, I mean, the hidden thing on the Ray Rice thing, right? Like, you know, like I know some people are like, well, that was it for him. It's like, you know, people forget that he averaged 3.3 yards a carry the year before. And Adrian Peterson got a second chance, like with something that wasn't the same, but, you know, I think was pretty bad right around the same time. And what was the difference? The difference was that Adrian Peterson was still playing like a first team all pro and Ray Rice wasn't, you know? So I think that's what would really make the situation thorny for Deshaun. And I know it sounds insensitive because the transgression should be the most important thing no matter what. But, you know, as far as him getting a second chance, you know, if he were suspended again, it makes it hard to see it because he's not playing well.
You mentioned his play on the field. You know, this past weekend against the Cowboys, one of the worst quarterback performances of the weekend. Do you think there is any scenario in play where the Browns would turn things over to Jameis Winston? Or do you see, if all the legal stuff plays out in the favor of Deshaun, he gets this year no matter what?
Yeah, I think it'd be real. I mean, I think it'd have to be really, it'd have to get really, really bad, you know? And I don't know. Like, I haven't given up hope on it working for him this year, but, like, you know, I think, you know, part of this is, you know, going to be people being real with him, and his coach is being real with him, and his coach is being tough on him. And, you know, I think it's going to come down to, like, him working the way that he worked when he was in Houston, you know? And, I think a lot of it's going to come down to his determination to fix this. Like, you know, you got a new offensive coordinator in there. You've got some new teammates. It's going to take work to get back to where he was. And, you know, I think a lot of that is on him. So, you know, it's just hard for me to see them moving away from him at any point this year, unless it got really, really, really bad. And he repeated the performance he had on Sunday over and over and over again. And again, like, you know, eventually he's going to have Chubb back. Like, eventually he'll have the tackles back. And, you know, the circumstances around him will be a lot different.
Albert, we appreciate you making time for us. I know you got a busy day out there in Miami, so we appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy Thursday night football, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.